The following is a class given on Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 46, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 17th of May, 1997, in Vrindavan.
Gopi jana bala bhala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Vartamana vidure vai Bhalopi ajadadhirayam Na vismarati menaryam Shunasi paiva prabhu Translation. Although he is very near to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened, because he never forgets his misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu, responsibly. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ke. The word Shuna means of a dog, and Shepa means tail. The example is ordinary. However, one may try to straighten a dog's tail. It is never straight but always curved. Shunashepa is also the name of the second son of Ajikarta. He was sold to Harishchandra, but he later took shelter of Vishwamitra, Harishchandra's enemy, and never left his side. Om Agyantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we have been witnessing in this chapter Hiranyakashipu's anger at whom his son Prahlad. Of course, as we know, Prahlad was not an ordinary child. The Vedic scriptures accept him as one of the spiritual authorities. Sayambhu Narada Sambhu Kamara Kapilo Mano Prahlado Janako Bhismo Bali Vaiya Sakir Vayam. So Prahlad is one of the Mahajans. Today in India, Mahajans become a caste. You meet Mr. Mahajans all the time, just like you meet Mr. Goswamis all the time. But Mahajan means a spiritual authority. Goswami means one who has control over the mind and senses. So Prahlad, he had the great fortune of having received the transcendental knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother from the great sage Narada Muni. The background is that the demigods were already troubled enough by Hiranyakashipu. He had obtained so much power by his austerities. So when Hiranyakashipu was out practicing austerities in Mandara Hill, the demigods had actually kidnapped his wife when Prahlad was in his mother's womb. And the plan was that as soon as the child comes out, they would kill the child. Like you say in English, like father, like son, huh? So they were anticipating the son to be another demon. They already had Hiranyakashipu Senior, and they were concerned that the next child may be Hiranyakashipu Junior. So they had made a plan to annihilate the child. But then they were assured by Narada Muni that a child in the womb was not an ordinary child, but it was going to be a great spiritual authority. And on Narada Muni's assurance, the demigods released Prahlad's mother, who was then given shelter by the great sage Narada. And then Narada instructed her on the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma, which Prahlad heard when he was in the womb of his mother. And then Prahlad was able to explain this later. So Prahlad had the great fortune of having received this transcendental wisdom when he was in the womb of his mother. And Hiranyakashipu, his demonic father, was very envious of Lord Vishnu. And because of his envy towards Lord Vishnu, because Vishnu had killed his brother, of course, anyone who gets killed by the Lord is actually very, very fortunate. Many times in India also you meet people who say, oh, you people worship Krishna, but on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so many soldiers were killed. What type of religion is this? But they don't realize that everyone who died on the battle of Kurukshetra were all liberated because they had the unique privilege of seeing the personality of Godhead. So Hiranyakashipu's anger was very intense against the Lord, and his son Prahlad was just the opposite. Actually, we've all heard these stories of Prahlad. You probably hear it every day because every verse is, you know, with a similar message. But the wonderful nature of transcendental topics that you never get tired. You can talk about Prahlad every day, you can hear about Prahlad every day. And you can talk about Krishna every day and never get tired. That's the nature of spiritual philosophy, spiritual sound. We chant the same mantra every day and you never get tired. The materialist can never comprehend the potency and the omnipotent nature of spiritual sound and spiritual philosophy. But the transcendentalist and aspiring transcendentalist can. So Hiranyakashipu, over here we see that he's reached a point of desperation. His anger became more intense when he questioned his son. After he questioned his son as to what he had learned in school, he was hoping to hear something diplomatic because Hiranyakashipu had also instructed the sons of Chukracharya, son and Anarka, to train up Prahlad in diplomacy. You know, they're very... Hiranyakashipu actually tried everything. In the Bhagavatam it is explained that in diplomacy there are four steps involved. The first step in diplomacy is legislation, legal orders. You know, you try to control someone by legal orders. Then another way is pacification. You try to pacify the individual, huh? Sometimes we have to go through these processes even in our ISKCON temples. You tell them, this is the law, Prabhu. He doesn't want to follow the law. Then you try to pacify him, huh? So when the devil doesn't work at pacification, then you go to the next step. This is more common in diplomatic circles than in ISKCON probably. Offer him a post. You offer him a position, hoping that now you offer him a position, the guy is going to become less volatile. But even if that doesn't work, then you resort to the last alternative, which is weapons. This, of course, in ISKCON we have no room. Vaishnavas never resort to violence. But the materialist, they stoop to any levels to get their aims realized. So Hiranyakashipu, he had tried. You know, he was trained in diplomacy. So he tried his best to control his son through legal orders. Didn't work. Then he tried pacification. He put his son on his lap, tried to pat him on his head, everything. Of course, there was no question offering him post. Of course, he wanted him to become a ruler. But now that when everything failed, Hiranyakashipu had decided, now I have no alternative but to resort to cruel techniques. And he actually didn't spare any cruel technique. You know, we've all heard of violence, devotees being put through inconveniences, just like in the former Soviet Union, when a movement first started, devotees were harassed. They had to go through so many difficulties. Some of them were sent into Siberia. Some of them were made to stay in frozen, cold rooms with no heat. They had to eat dry bread that was, you know, weeks old and so on. But no one actually has had to undergo the difficulty that Prahlad had to undergo, isn't it? I mean, just look at what Prahlad had to go through. He was thrown beneath the feet of big elephants. Then he was thrown among snakes. Yeah, normally when we see a snake, we run away, isn't it? I know some of the devotees who live in Goshala, they always complain sometimes they have to cross snakes while coming to the temple. So they don't want to live in the Goshala. So Prahlad was surrounded by snakes. Then, hurling him from the top of a hill. My God. Hiranyakashipu's demons, assistants, took Prahlad at the top of a mountain and threw him from the top of the mountain. Still nothing happened to Prahlad. Then, he was administered poison. And he was probably administered a big dose of poison, not the drop of poison. Still nothing happened. Then, Prahlad was starved. Imagine, a five-year-old kid. He was starved. Then he was exposed to severe cold. You can't even imagine what this cold may be. You know, here in Vrindavan, it's a little cold with no closure and you feel so concerned. But he was exposed to severe cold. Winds, fire and water. Then none of this worked. Then Hiranyakashipu said, throw stones on him. So very heavy stones were thrown on Prahlad. It was only a five-year-old kid. Still, none of this worked. Then, what did Hiranyakashipu think? Hiranyakashipu realized, after Hiranyakashipu was not a complete fool, by Krishna's illusory energy, and by the transcendental will of the Lord, he was playing the role of a demon. But we should never forget that in the core of his heart, he was a devotee. After all, at one time, they were Jai and Vijay, isn't it? But they had agreed to play the role of a demon to make the Lord's pastimes on this planet more relishable. Because when the Lord appears and when the Lord has to display his superhuman powers, his opponent cannot be an ordinary person. It has to be a very powerful person. So Hiranyakashipu, and also Hiranyakashipu had recognized that if he has to become powerful, he has to practice austerities. That is why we see that Hiranyakashipu practiced extreme austerity. Present day, there is no shortage of Hiranyakashipus, isn't it? Like Prabhupada said, at one time there was one Hiranyakashipu, but today almost everywhere you turn around, there's a junior Hiranyakashipu in action. People are just interested in gold or money and women. So, but this Hiranyakashipu, the original Hiranyakashipu, knew that even if you want material strength, you have to practice austerities. So Hiranyakashipu could realize that I have been so severe on this child, and still this child is not dying. This child must be having some shakti. So he recognized that this child is actually sinless. He is sinless, and this child never forgets Krishna. He had mastered one thing, the art of remembering Krishna or Vishnu in every situation. And a very nice analogy is given over here. Actually, if you read the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can find such beautiful analogies that the material brain can never think of, isn't it? Look at this analogy. It's just like a dog's curved tail can never be straightened. Now, a dog's curved tail, you can try as much as you want, it will never become straight. So similarly, Prahlad, though he's a complete child, he is situated in complete fearlessness and he never forgets his master. Who was his master? Vishnu. So that is the position of a devotee. A devotee should become fearless. But a devotee can only become fearless if he is closely connected to his master Vishnu. If you are not closely connected to your master Vishnu, then you can never become fearless. For example, Govinda Das, in his Baja Hure Mana prayer, what did he say? Baja Hure Mana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhay Charna Ravindare. My dear mind, please become, you can become fearless only if you take shelter of the son of Maharaj Nanda. If you do not take shelter of the son of Maharaj Nanda, then of course there is no question of becoming fearless. So Prahlad was fearless, just like we read about Haridas Thakur. Like Haridas Thakur, he was also fearless. The Mahandan Kadi told him, "Come on, stop chanting Hare Krishna." "What's the harm? I'm chanting the names of God." "No, but you're a born Muslim. You can't chant the names of Hindu God. God is one." So, yeah, Hiranyakashipu. So then, Haridas, he was caned in different marketplaces, 22 marketplaces. So, Prahlad, because he was always remembering his master, Vishnu, Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arsa Bhritaya, as the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Krishna is the only master and we are all his servants. So this is the conclusion of devotional service. This is the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures. That is, the Krishna is the only master. The demigods are also subordinate to Krishna. Just like in the seventh canto, it is also explained that when we talk about kirtan, kirtan means glorification of Krishna, not just glorification of any demigods. Kirtan means glorification of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, somehow or the other, we should focus our lives in such a way that we can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains that all these rules and regulations that are there, they are all meant to bring us to one point. And that one point is, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Why is it that even though we take to devotional service, we are always fearful? Many times you meet devotees who give so many material logics as to why they should reduce their devotional service, etc. What's the real reason? The real reason is that we don't have faith that Krishna is going to protect me. Rakhe Krishna, Mare Ke, Mare Krishna, Rakhe Ke. Who Krishna wants to protect, no one can annihilate. And who Krishna wants to annihilate, no one can protect. You see, in your own experience, we've all seen, sometimes with an accident, one man survives and another man dies, isn't it? And sometimes the man has a small minor disease and nothing happens, something fatal happens. And something a man has a minor disease and something fatal happens. So, we shouldn't forget that the law of karma determines our quota of happiness and distress. And ultimately, everything is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna says, Sarva dhamma paritajya maam ekam shanam raja aham tvam sarva papivya mokshashami maasachaha. Some of the other give up all varieties of religiousness and just surrender unto me. All varieties of religiousness means give up the concept of dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Give up the worship of the demigods, etc. Come exclusively to the path of pure devotional service. And then Krishna says, I'll protect you. And we have the classic example that we are reading about, the example of Prahlad Maharaj. How Prahlad Maharaj had to go through such severe tests. So when a devotee has to go through tests in devotional life, he should not in any way feel discouraged or disheartened. Rather, as Queen Kunti has exemplified, we should use these difficult moments as an opportunity to further depend upon Krishna, to further increase the dependence on Krishna, to get more absorbed in devotional service and thereby realize happiness. In the Bhagavatam, you read the story of this prostitute Pingala. The prostitute Pingala had many material ambitions and she had taken to prostitution for two reasons. As a means to get money and as a means to get sense enjoyment. So once she had dressed herself very beautifully in order to attract potential customers. And she was waiting in her balcony all day, hoping that the next individual that passes by is going to be her customer. But all day passed by and she didn't get any customer. Then ultimately, in desperation, she threw away all her ornamentation, beautiful clothes, etc., and surrendered at the feet of the Lord and became happy. So desperation also leads to spiritual happiness if desperation is going to result in surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On our own attempts, we may try our best, but if we depend on Krishna and still make the effort, depending on Krishna is sometimes misunderstood. Depending on Krishna is sometimes misunderstood to mean that you don't make an effort. You just think Krishna is going to work for you. But that's not the mentality that Krishna induces us to understand through the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna at no point told Arjuna, you just sit down and I'll make you victorious. No, he wanted Arjuna to act. Similarly, Prabhupada, by his example, showed us how Prabhupada had to endeavor, how Prabhupada had to struggle for years and years and years to get this Krishna conscious movement established. So, similarly, as devotees, we also have to endeavor, as Krishna says, Tasma Sarvesha Kalesha Mamanasmara Yudhacha. Fight, but also think of me. So this is very important that we gain the ability to think of Vishnu, to think of Vishnu's form, to think of Vishnu's instructions, to think of Vishnu's desires, to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is very, very important. Hiranyakashipu is acknowledging his defeat. He is acknowledging that I have failed in all my attempts to kill the small child. This child is sinless. This child never forgets Vishnu. So that is the stage that we have to come to. Never forget Vishnu in all situations. In happiness and distress, we should always remember Vishnu as our Lord. That is why we read in the Bhagavad Gita such great emphasis upon controlling the mind, isn't it? There is a lot of effort on this point that we have to control the mind. Man manabhava madbhakta madhyadi man namaskaru manivashini satyamte pratijane priyoshime. Become my devotee, think of me, bow down to me, offer your homage unto me. So we have to train our lives so that we always think of Krishna. Because thinking of Krishna is the only thing that will give you happiness. Everything else that you try to think of is not going to give you happiness. It's just going to be like the poor man who on the beach was building a castle from sand. Prabhupada gave us the story of a beggar was building a castle from sand on the beach. And then another man came and just walked on that castle and the castle was crushed. So when you make mental plans, then that's exactly what happens. Whereas, if we take shelter of Krishna by thinking of Krishna's instructions, thinking of Krishna's desires, thinking of Krishna's pastimes, thinking of Krishna's transcendental form, then one can be happy. Because then you know that nothing is in your hand in any case. You can just make the effort and leave the result in Krishna's hand. The devotee's understanding is, the only thing in my control is my effort. Krishna has given us all this free will. The free will to surrender to him and the free will to be independent of him. Beyond that, nothing's in your hand. The sincerity is in your hand. If you make a determined effort to be sincere, then as Krishna says, those who serve me with love, I make up what they lack and I preserve what they have. So if you are making a sincere attempt to understand Krishna, Krishna is going to give you the understanding. He's going to give you the environment. He's going to give you the association. He's going to give you the instructions by which you can understand him. So, by being constantly in the association of devotees and by taking to this process of Sharanam Kirtanam, we can get the atmosphere necessary to always remember Krishna. Actually, we should be so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has created such a wonderful institution in which we have so many opportunities for always remembering Krishna. So many. I do not think any individual on this planet has such a wonderful opportunity to remember Krishna as you have in ISKCON. For example, in all these wonderful temples that Prabhupada created, he installed such nice process of deity worship, isn't it? Everyone acknowledges in India and everywhere that the ISKCON deities are the most beautiful. Am I right? People often ask us, where do you get your deities made from? And we give the address of the Murtiwala in Jaipur. A few weeks ago, I've gone to Jaipur to look at the murtis that have been made for the Delhi temple. And I saw the Murtiwala writes on his board, Murtiwala of ISKCON deities. So the Murtiwala is claiming full credit for the beauty of the deities. We can give him small credit. But the real credit is the worship of the devotees. The devotees are worshipping the deities according to the Shastras. And because they are worshipping the deities according to a certain standard that Prabhupada has established, therefore the deities are able to manifest their transcendental beauty. So that's one way of remembering. You meditate on the wonderful deities that are there in your temple. And here in Vrindavan, you have the wonderful deities of Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, and Bonithai, and Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhantani, and Prabhupada Samadhi Murti. So that's one way of meditating. Wherever your mind wanders, bring it back to these great personalities who are from the spiritual world. Then you have the instructions. You have the Bhagavatam class, the Bhagavatam philosophy, the slokas. Then you have the service. Just like you see about Prahlad had this intense mood to preach. We'll see later on in this chapter that Prahlad's father told his teachers, the sons of Shukracharya, to instruct him in diplomacy. So whenever his teachers would be out doing household duties, Prahlad would preach. He would preach to his classmates about the philosophy that he had heard from Narada Muni. So embracing the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, devotees should be anxious to preach. And preaching is the essence of all different types of devotional service that one can engage in. Prabhupada also said that preaching is the essence. One can engage in a variety of devotional services. There are unlimited variety of services. But the most powerful of all these types of services is the service of preaching. And preaching involves telling people about Krishna, telling people about the goal of life, distributing Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literature, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, etc. Here in Vrindavan, we have unlimited opportunities for preaching because people are coming here. So many visitors come here every day, isn't it? So all these devotees are coming here because they have some faith that Krishna is supreme. So if we preach to them, give them our association, then they will be more inspired to take to the chanting of the holy name because these people already have some element of faith that Krishna is supreme. That's why they come to Vrindavan. It's not that everyone in India comes to Vrindavan. No, there's so many people who've never been to Vrindavan, who've never heard of Vrindavan. These are the people who have no faith. But the people who come here are obviously the people who have some faith in Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. So they are, as you would call, good prospects for preaching. Because they already have some element of bhakti in their heart. So we should be anxious to give them our association to preach to them. And then, of course, there's the preaching through the medium of book distribution. Just like today, we are going to thank the devotees who took part in the Prabhupada book distribution marathon. Prabhupada said, if you tell someone something, he will forget it after 2 or 3 days. But if you give him a book, he will read it, reread it, and give others to read these books. That's why Prabhupada emphasized this activity of book distribution as one of our principal services. And it should not mean that here in India we don't believe in book distribution. Prabhupada said India can be the leader in book distribution. So here in Vrindavan, the devotees in Vrindavan have a little more difficult task because they're preaching in an area where there's a lot of competition from Gita Press, which has cheap books out in the market, and the books were not subsidized. But nevertheless, we are very grateful that the devotees went out on the book distribution marathon. They worked hard and they distributed their books. Of course, sometimes in India, devotees think book distribution seva is only for 1 month and 12 months. So they go for 1 month and 11 months, they have a little relaxed mood. But no. For this book distribution, that service for every day of the year. Every day of the year, devotees have to be in a marathon. On a marathon to save the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are on a marathon for sense enjoyment. Devotees have to be on a marathon for saving these people from sense enjoyment. And the only way you can save them from sense enjoyment is by giving them this transcendental literature.
Hare Krishna.